Hallelujah. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to begin here. And then I don't have a PowerPoint tonight because I wanted you to see the scriptures tonight, because we're going to go into some description of the throne. And God's presence is already here. Go. I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And we're going to begin there. You know, and really this whole chapter, he's talking about rest. Aren't you glad that the throne is a place of rest? It's not a place of turmoil or trouble, but it is a place of rest. Amen? God wants you to be comfortable in his presence. He wants you to feel at home at the throne. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, he's enabled us to do that. Look at verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us, therefore, what restricts a person from coming before the throne? Their choice. You can come before the throne of God if you choose to do so. Amen? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you already have an open access, an open invitation to come. And he said, let us come, let us therefore. You know, you always, whenever you see that word, you want to see why it's therefore. Let us therefore come boldly. So we have to come. How do we come? We come boldly. That word really exudes confidence. You've got to come before the throne with confidence in God. You've got to know that he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, and he has everything you need, you want, and you desire. So come boldly before or unto the throne of grace. Aren't you glad that you can come where grace is enthroned? Notice the throne of grace. Well, isn't God gracious? Okay, what are you going to get at the throne? That we may obtain mercy. If you need mercy, you got to come. Amen? You're not going to get mercy staying by yourself, crying, having a pity party. You've got to come and receive, obtain mercy. See, mercy's already been given. So you just got to come and obtain it. It's like God reserved mercy in your name. And you just got to go to the counter and pick it up. Say, I believe that there's some mercy reserved for me here. So you go to obtain it, right? And find grace to what? To help. Anybody need help? Well, grace is your best helper. Okay? In the time of need. Now, I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few places where it describes the throne of God. Because if you know, I want you to see what you're coming to, right? You know, if I just told you to go to that car in the parking lot, you'd be like, which car? What do you mean, what car? There's lots of cars out there. So let's look at some descriptions of God's throne. Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 22. And we'll go to verse 28 in that passage of scripture there. Over the head of the living creature, there was the likeness of a firmament, to look upon like a terrible and awesome, dazzling, shining crystal or ice, stretched across the expanse of the sky over their heads. How many's ever seen the sun hit ice? And doesn't it's bright, isn't it? Because that light, the ice is like crystal, and when that light hits it, it's like, wow. You know, you walk outside, and it's even brighter than that. But you know, we're using words here. And under the firmament, now this thing, it filled the expanse of the sky, all right? And under the firmament, their wings were stretched out straight one toward another. Every living creature had two wings, which covered its body on this side, and two which covered it on that side. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the noise of great waters. You ever hear water crashing like a waterfall or the waves hitting rocks? It makes a loud noise, doesn't it? Okay? So you've got these winged creatures and just the sound of their wings. It's like waters crashing. Okay? Doesn't sound like there's a it's silent there, you know? Okay? And like the voice of the Almighty, the sound of the tumult, like the noise of a host, when they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice above the firmament that was over their heads. When they stood, they let down their wings. Now, we're going to get to the throne right here in verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was like the likeness of a throne. In appearance, like a sapphire stone. Now, I used to have a sapphire ring, and it had like a little star in it. When the light would hit that sapphire, that the lines that made a star looked like an asterisk. It would like light up, and it was like a deep red in color. But when the light hit it, it would like, you know, it's got that sparkle to it. So he's describing the throne like with the likeness of a sapphire. And seated above the throne was the likeness with the appearance of a man. From what had the appearance of his waist upward, I saw a luster as it were glowing metal. You ever see where they put hot metal into that fire and it becomes red, right? It's like red hot, okay? So he's looking at this and it's like glowing metal, okay? With the appearance of fire enclosed round about within it. And from the appearance of his waist downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness of a halo around him. So notice he didn't need sunglasses, because when you're in the spirit, you know, it doesn't affect your physical senses or your physical body. And God was showing him this. He was having this vision. And this is the place that you and I are invited to come. We're supposed to come into this place boldly, with confidence. You know, if Queen Sheba, when she heard about Solomon, okay? So she wanted to check out Solomon, and so her and her entourage came to Solomon's temple. And she hadn't even seen Solomon yet. She just saw how decked out his servants were. And what was her reaction? Does anybody know what her reaction was when she saw how well his servants were dressed? She passed out. She was like, oh my goodness, what they said about this man didn't even give him credit. She was so taken away. Her breath was so taken away. Now, that's just Solomon's throne. Imagine the throne in heaven that you and I are invited to come before. Okay? Verse 28, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was his appearance of the brightness round about him. So around Jesus, there's like a bow, a rainbow. What did God say? He would put the rainbow in the sky for what? A sign of what? That he'd never destroy the earth through a flood. So God's got a reminder. Now, if God has a reminder around him, how important is it for us to have reminders around us? Amen? Pictures that inspire you, that remind you, that cause you to remember. It was the appearance, brightness roundabout. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. See, he was so overwhelmed in the presence of God that he fell. The same thing what happened to John in Revelation. When he saw the angels in heaven, he fell on the ground like a dead man, you know? And it's just such an awesome, awe-inspiring, majestic, incredible place that you and I have been invited to come to. Amen? And, you know, he talked with Ezekiel. He said, "Son of man, stand upon your feet and I will speak to you." Aren't you glad that when you go before the throne, you can have a conversation with the king? You can have a conversation with the creator. You can have a conversation with the master communicator. How many know that God loves you? He loves to talk with you. He loves to speak to you. He loves to show you things. That's just who he is. And that's what he does. And verse 2, "And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me upon my feet." Wow. You talk about a word. He was down on the ground like a dead man, and when he spoke, the Spirit entered him and he stood up. Like boom. "And I heard him speaking to me." And we're not going to go into what he says. Go to chapter 10. Chapter 10. Are you getting a picture of the throne? Verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 1. "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament," that's really the sky, the firmament, "that was over the heads of the cherubim, there appeared above them something looking like a sapphire stone, in the form resembling a throne. And the Lord spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, 'Go in among the whirling wheels under the cherubim. Fill your hands with coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city.' And he went in before my eyes. Now the cherubim stood on the south side of the house. When the man went in, and the Shekinah cloud filled the inner court." And isn't it awesome that what happens in heaven can happen on earth? What happened when Solomon built the temple? When he finished the temple, the Bible said that a cloud came in the place. You know, if tonight, if you just see a fog rolling in, it's okay. We don't have a fog machine. It's just the glory of the Lord. And the Bible says that the 120 singers, they sang as one voice, and the glory filled the temple, and the priest couldn't even stand to minister. Hey, the glory is welcome here to do that anytime. Amen? That's what we want. And verse 4, "Then the glory of the Lord mounted up from the cherubim to stand over the threshold of the Lord's house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled with the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the wings of the cherubim was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of God Almighty when he speaks. And when he commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, 'Take fire from between the whirling wheels, from between the cherubim,' the man went in and stood beside a wheel." So there We have some hot coal. We have some fire. Go to the book of Daniel. And we're going to come to a strong finish soon. Not finished yet, though. Daniel chapter 7. And let's look at verse 9. Daniel 7 and verse 9. Now, I want you to notice something. In each of these cases, the person was looking. Amen? What are you focusing on when you pray? We should focus on the throne. Because that is the authority, the dominion, the power of God. And what did Satan try to set up himself? He said, I'm going to set up my throne above his throne. Well, you know, that doesn't work. Because God is the most high. You can't get any higher than God. He is El Elyon. He is the most high God. But Satan was trying to set up a throne. Now, you have a throne in your life. Who's sitting on your throne in your life? Just a thought-provoking question. Before you came to Christ, there was a big eye on that throne. Doesn't matter if you were a good person, did good things, I was on that throne. The only time when I was replaced is when you came to Christ. Because when a person gets born again, they don't sit on the throne anymore, amen? The king now sits on the throne. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, I kept looking until thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days, Amplified says, God the Eternal Father, took his seat, whose garment was white as snow. Let me tell you something. There's no impurity at the throne. There's no falseness about the throne. It is absolute truth, absolute perfection, absolute beauty, absolute purity. It's a pure place. Cleaner than a hospital surgical room. And the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame. Its wheels were burning fire. I bet that when Elijah was taken up to heaven, God took his throne and picked him up. God did a drive-by. If his throne's got fiery wheels, and Elijah was taken up with a fiery chariot, think about it. God said, all right, son, I'm going to come get you. You wait here, I'm coming, I'm on my way. And God came in a whirlwind. A stream of fire came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him. Can you say amen? And 10,000 times 10,000 rose up and stood before him. The judge was seated. The court was in session, and the books were opened. You talk about a courtroom. Thousands and thousands, 10,000 times 10,000 stood up. I looked, then because of the sound of the great words which the horn was speaking, I watched until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. All right, let's go to another place. Go to Ezekiel 43. What are you doing? I'm building your faith in the throne. Amen? Faith comes by what? Hearing what? So when you're hearing the word about the throne, you have faith to believe in it. Say, I can come before God's throne. I'm confident to come to his throne to discuss matters with me and with the world. You have an appointment with the king. Anytime, any place, anywhere, any day, any hour. It's always available to you. And let's look at verse 5, Ezekiel 43 and verse 5. Then the Spirit caught me up and brought me into the inner court. Woo! I bet that was a ride. And behold, there's that word. It has to do with looking, seeing, vision. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I heard one speaking to me out of the temple, and a man stood by me. And he, the Lord, said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel for how long? Forever. And my holy name, the house of Israel, shall no more profane, neither they nor their kings by their harlotry, nor by the dead bodies and monuments of their kings, by setting their threshold by my thresholds, and their doorpost by my doorposts, with a mere wall between me and them. They have profaned my holy name by their abominations which they have committed. Therefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their harlotry and the dead bodies and the monuments of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Let me tell you something. If you have an encounter with the throne, you don't want to serve, you don't want to worship any other thing. Amen? Worship the one true God. He's a jealous God. All right? And here is his throne. Now go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And let's look at verse 1. I want you to see that everything associated with the throne, it has to do with someone looking. So you got to, when you pray, your focus has to be on the throne. After this, Revelation 4:1, I looked, and lo, a door standing open in heaven. Who's the door of heaven? Jesus, he's the door, right? And the first voice, when I had heard, addressed to me like the calling of war trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. You know, God, it's the Holy Spirit's job to show you things to come, all right? And when we pay attention, when we listen to him, he'll show us things to come, all right? But do you see how welcoming God is? He said, come up here, and I will show you. What if he didn't come? Then he wouldn't have been seen. He wouldn't have been shown, or he wouldn't have known what was coming up. At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and lo, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there appeared like the crystalline brightness of jasper and the fiery sardius, and the encircling the throne there was a halo that looked like a rainbow of emerald. So you got noise, you got color, you got brightness, you got people, you got angels, you got all these things. And God's not nervous about anything. This is the place where we can come. This is the place where we can boldly come and receive mercy and grace. 24 other thrones surrounded the throne, and seated on these thrones were 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, arrayed in white clothing with crowns of gold upon their heads. Out of the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirits. Right? It's one Holy Spirit, just seven different manifestations, seven different functions. You can look that up in Isaiah 11. It talks about the seven. And in front of the throne, there's also what looks like transparent, glassy sea, as if of crystal. And around the throne, in the center, each side of the throne, are four living creatures. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, individually having six wings, are full of eyes all over and within, and underneath their wings, and day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent." They never stop praising Him. Who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures offer glory and honor and thanksgiving to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever through the eternities of the eternities. The 24 elders, the members of the heavenly Sanhedrin, fall prostrate before Him who's sitting on the throne. And they worship Him who lives forever and ever. They throw down their crowns before the throne, crying out, "Worthy are You, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and dominion. For You created all things. By Your will they were brought into being and were created." So you can worship before the throne. Amen? Hallelujah. And how many has ever flown on an airplane? What is the one thing that every airport has that stands out above everything else? The control tower. See, the control tower is like a throne. And in order for planes to go into the airport and leave the airport, they have to get access, don't they? We are cleared for takeoff. That plane, a plane does not leave the ground unless the tower clears it. A plane does not land in an airport unless the tower clears it. Why? Because the tower is watching all the other traffic. And just like a plane interacts with the tower, we can interact with God's throne. And there is protocol in His throne. There's protocol to come into His presence. Amen? You've been granted access to come before God. And when you leave the throne, you're going to have instructions on what to do next. Where to go. What to do. What to be. How to do it. Go and do this. You know, I remember Noah. The Bible said, when everything was chaotic in the world, he found grace in God's sight. That tells me that Noah must have been able to go to God's throne. Even in that day, in the Old Testament, how else would he find grace? Because we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We know that in Hebrews tells us what Noah did. And what did he do before the throne? God gave him the plans to build a boat. He got instructions at the throne. He was granted access, and he was cleared for takeoff. Hallelujah. And Noah took off. He began building the boat. Amen? He began doing what God told him to do. It was because of his conversation at the throne. If you don't know what to do with your life, let's go before the throne. Amen? Have a discussion with your Father. Have a discussion with the King. Amen? And you can go before the throne of God. Because we've been granted access to the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, as you come before the throne of grace, by the way chosen by God, you have the king's ear. See, I have the king's ear. You have his attention. But you got to come. Amen? And you come, you set your heart and your mind to seek God, and you're going to find him. And the Holy Spirit, he's there to help you get to the throne. He's like the air traffic controller. He'll give you directions. Now, an air traffic controller will sometimes tell a plane, you've got to hang out here for a little bit before you can come in. And I've been on planes where they keep circling because they can't land for whatever reason. And once they're clear to land, then they can land. But you spend a lot of time circling. Sometimes God will have you in a holding pattern. But see, you've got to come to him by faith. Amen? Charles Spurgeon, he said this. Let me see if I can find it here. He said, unstaggering faith should be predominant before the mercy seat. And that's really when the Hebrews writer says, come boldly, you're supposed to come with faith. You don't come with a guilt consciousness. Woe is me. Now we know that Isaiah, when he saw Jesus high lifted up, sitting on the throne, and his train filled the temple, he was instantly, he realized that he was a man of unclean lips. How quickly did Isaiah's unclean lips get corrected at the throne? The one touch of the coal. God said to the cherubim, go grab a coal from the altar and touch his lips. And the moment that coal touched his lips, his mouth was cleansed. The problem was resolved. Amen? So when you come before God, come in faith. Come in confidence. Come trusting God, believing God, hoping in God. And look to God. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. You can come because Jesus enabled you. Jesus provided a way. And we can come before the throne of grace. And you know, go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look at verse 19. Let me ask you this question. Has blood been shed for your sins? Do you now have a sin nature? No, say, I am not a sinner. I am a child of God. You know, the Bible teaches that we don't have to let sin have dominion over us. Right? Romans teaches that. He gives us a new nature. We become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are not just an old sinner saved by grace. You've been given the nature of Christ. 2 Peter says we become partakers of his divine nature. Say, I'm just like Jesus. And that gives you the right to come. Having therefore, verse 19 of Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness or confidence to enter into the holiest holies by the blood of Jesus. What's going to get you into the doorway? the blood of Jesus. What else is going to get you into the doorway? Praise. We enter his courts with what? Thanksgiving. And or we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his what? Courts with praise. Praise and worship and thanksgiving is going to usher you in before the throne of God and into his presence. So if you know you need to pray and you're struggling to pray, start to praise. Forget about the problem that you're going to be presenting before God and just begin to praise him for who he is and what he's done, and begin to praise his name, begin to exalt his name. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like getting on that ride at Chocolate World. You're going to get in, and it's going to just usher you into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is just going to take you in. Amen? You're just going to get into the flow. Then he said, verse 20, by a new and living way. What was the old way that they went into the Holy of Holies? By sacrifice. Who could enter the Holy of Holies? One person. And they had to go through a veil, okay? But now, when Jesus died, what happened to that veil? It was torn down. That means that not just the high priest anymore, but you, me, you, all of us, we can go into a new and living way. Christ made the way. He said, I am the way. Amen? Having therefore, brethren, or by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for who? Say, he made a way for me. Through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. And having, not had, not will have, but having, right now and ongoing, having a high priest over the house of God. Oftentimes, didn't we read in the visions of the throne that it was often described as a house? And also, the Bible teaches that you and I, we are God's house. We are God's temple. And just like the glory filled the natural temple, the glory can fill this temple too. God can chalk. Listen, when they were filled on the day of Pentecost, the world looking on thought that they were drunk. Now, drunk people act certain ways. Anybody ever see anybody that was drunk? Notice I didn't ask if you were ever drunk. Okay, we have a high priest over the house of God. What? Because of this, verse 22, let us what? Draw near. So we've got to make a conscious decision to come near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So, you know, just like an airplane has to follow protocol to enter into an airport, you know, we follow the protocol. Our protocol is praise and worship and thanksgiving and having a pure heart, knowing what Jesus has done. It's going through the blood of Jesus. It's being saved. And based on that, we can come before the most magnificent throne, before the monarch of the universe, before the king of ages, before the ancient of days. You and I, we can come and we can discuss things. We can talk about things. We can get insight. We can get understanding. We can get wisdom. We can find out what to do when we don't know what to do. We can get power. But we have to come. He didn't just say think about it. He didn't say talk about it. He said come. And God wants us to act on his word. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, then I'll wrap it up for tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Didn't Jesus tell his disciples, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? He said, fear not, little flock. So your Father wants you to have the kingdom, doesn't he? Did you know that you are heirs of a kingdom? When Prince Charles passes this earth, who's going to be left to inherit the kingdom? William and George, whoever. I don't know the line of succession. But you got these other princes, whatever belonged to the king now belongs to the heir. Whatever belonged to the king, all of his properties, all of his holdings, all of his accounts now get passed to the heir. So because we can go before God's throne, everything that Jesus received, guess what? Gets passed on to us because we are joint heirs with him. Okay? So, wherefore, verse 28, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let me tell you something. You are part of a kingdom that cannot be moved, that will not fail, that's not going to fade away, that's not going to go away. It's going to be around here forever. And we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. Oh, where do we get grace? We go before the throne because we have access. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen? Now, we have to make a conscious effort tonight to come into this place called the throne of God. Amen? You've got to come with boldness. You don't say, God, can I come in? How many believe in Jesus? Then you already have your access code. You've already been given your backstage pass. You can boldly go where no man has gone before. Amen? So I want us to go before the throne of God for just a few minutes. What are you going to do before the throne? You're going to praise? You're going to worship? You're going to give thanksgiving? You come because of the blood of Christ? And if you have a need, are you going to leave empty-handed? No, because you're a possessor of his promises. Amen? So you're going to come with praise, and you're going to leave with a possession. Oh, hallelujah. You come with praise, and you're going to leave with a possession. And it may be power. Amen? It's whatever you need. You can leave with a touch from God. You can leave with a grace deposit, a divine impartation, a revelation, insight and understanding and wisdom. You can leave with peace that passes understanding because the throne is a place of rest. Can you imagine? You can rest at the throne even though there's all that activity. So let's go before the throne. Amen? Let's put into practice what we've learned. So I want to see some bold coming before the throne. Amen? Yes. You got to come like a dog after a steak bone. Amen? So Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we receive your invitation to come before your throne boldly, before the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, you've given us access through the blood of Jesus. We come and we praise you, Lord. We magnify you. We worship you. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We exalt you on high. We bless your name. We praise the majesty of your glory and your kingdom. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your holiness and your purity and your righteousness. Lord, we thank you that before the throne we can come in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father. We come unto you, Lord. You're the source of life. You're our strength. You're our wisdom. You're our knowledge. You're our all in all. Lord, you are our great I am. And we come to you, Lord. We come because we love you. We come because we want to honor you. We want to bless you. We want to praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we come, Father. You've made a way for us to come before the throne of God. You've made a way for us to come into the holy, holy of your presence, to the very inner court of the king, to the king's chamber. We come in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Sondara Barako Sondara Baraki and La Mama. Yala Marosa and La Mama Mama. Oh, Rabba Sandala Mama Mama Rabako Sandala Mama. Yala Baroko Sandala Bakasiti Yala Mama. Oh, we praise you, Lord God. We praise you. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Now, if you're dealing with an issue, then tell the king about your issue. Tell the king about your problem. Oh, tell the king about what you want him to do for you. And he'll do it. Ask, he said, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. So whatever it is you need, receive from the king. Receive from his grace. His grace will help you. His mercy will change you. His mercy will forgive you. He wants to make things right with you. He wants you to experience the blessing and the goodness that he promises. And it's at this place at the throne where we receive God's best. Oh, cry out to him tonight. Cry out to him tonight. You need him to change some things? He can change it. You need him to create some things? He can make it. You need him to do some things? There's nothing impossible to him. Oh, learn to love Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with the Lamb. Fall in love with the King. And Father, in the name of Jesus, may your power and your anointing and your blessing rest in these garments, Father, in this material in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, anoint this material with fresh oil, Father, and I just give you thanks and praise that it will glorify you, it will honor you, bring salvation, healing, and deliverance in the name of Jesus. You will transfer your power, Father. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter your age, young or old, learn to love Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Learn to express yourself in praise and adoration to God. Oh, learn to cry out. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Just let your heart be expressed. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Sondara Baraka Sandara Marabba Kosanda. God wants to meet with you. Oh, Rabba Kosandara Baroko Sandara Barako Sandara Mamama. On the throne sits the healer. He conquered every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every weakness by the stripes that he bore on his back. He broke the curse of sickness. He destroyed the one who had power over sickness. His will for you is to be healed and to be whole. There's healing at the throne. He fills the empty voids. He makes your future known. There is no darkness at the throne. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah.